Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know, that always gets me.
Yeah. 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 They are, and it never gets any easier either. I know. He keeps raising the high jump bar on you too, is what happens. And the consequences get bigger and bigger for your decisions. So, you gotta prepare now. Anything else? Anyone who wants to share? Yes, sir. Good. And closely related to that availability is the whole issue of faithfulness. I think we can pitch too far in the area of design. I think it's great when you have an opportunity to live out the things that you're strong in, that you're gifted in. But there's always a balance. There's a lot of things that we're always called to do that aren't necessarily our strengths, but God will put us in there. And sometimes God will put us in areas of absolute frustration that don't match our design at all. Because he's not so much interested at that point in time of you utilizing your design so much as he's interested in developing certain things into your life that'll make you more effective in your design later. Yes, sir. Yeah.
When you say calls, I mean, I hear people say I feel called to minister. What do you mean by that?
I was just thinking about that the other day. what in the world I'm called to do. I'd say there's a range of things that involves. I think some people do probably feel a very, very almost audible sense that God said, I want you to do this. But I think there's different kinds of call. I mean, there's certain biblical calls, you know, calls to holiness and that sort of thing. I think some people can have a certain call or a real motivation or desire, or a real sense that God is asking them to do something. Now, it could be a call to a country. It might be a call to a type of ministry. It might be a call to a specific organization. And you can see all of those would look different. Because, you know, it might be a call, in a sense, to a certain lifestyle. I think there's a certain commitments that I think God prompts people to do is maybe another way of saying it. And that every one of those, we can't superimpose those on anybody, but I think that we have to individually evaluate what kind of commitments in terms of the way I live and work is God asking me to have in my life. And some of that just doesn't come out of the blue. Some of that is kind of a developed thing. As you make decisions, you begin to see this is kind of the track that God has for you. Yes, sir? I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you, so I apologize.
Do you think our motivation for doing eternal things should be to tell ourselves what if Christ is going to come back 6 months from now, 5 years from now? If you wanted us to live under that motivation, do you think that he would have told us when he's going to come back? Do you think that should be a motivation?
I don't think that I said that as a motivation. You know, because like I said, some people can really freeze up, you know, when that sort of thing hits. So much is that it's a matter of perspective that say, you know, we shouldn't squander our lives. We should be thoughtful because we have a treasure that's measured out to us. And what we want to do is make the fullest use of that treasure every day. And so rather than feeling paralyzed by it, what we understand is that how precious it is. And because we understand how precious it is and valuable it is, our motivation then is to really use it well. And I think it should be an encouraging motivation that God gives us days. Yes?
Another question. On the issue of balance, what are a few recommendations you have to, help us balance between obligations and gifts?
He's asking here, how do you balance your dreams and your obligations, and any recommendations on that? That's a real slippery one because it's constantly changing. You know, the obligations that you have now, certainly different than the obligations that I have with three kids and what I'm doing, you know. And I'm not to say either that sometimes God doesn't call me to really test my obligations. Do I love him more? But I think that the big thing is the hard part about it is to be, for me, is to be really honest with it. To continually prayerfully put my relationships with at work and my ministry and my family and other obligations like that on the table. And to not slip into, say, the thinking that I'm taking care of, say, my obligations to my wife and my family when I'm really not. And so I think that there's not a formula to say you need 30% of this and 30% of that, you know, 10% of that, and make sure you leave a little margin here in case you mess up over here. Because I think most of us don't have any more room in our lives for anything else, you know, it's all full bore that we're living out. I think it's a part of a constant interactivity with God to say, am I being faithful in these areas? And it was like when I got into that business situation I alluded to earlier in the week, where all of a sudden the business collapsed and I was left holding a mountain of debt that I didn't generate but I was obligated to. For several years of my life, that consumed me because I had to get that off. And the scriptures are real clear about getting that off. And so my dreams and aspirations got postponed a little bit. So I think I kind of look at not a balance in terms of just every day, you know, measured out that you spend X percentage in each of these areas. But I think you look at a season of life and say, am I meeting my obligations over that season? And I think that helps a little bit. We try to kind of compartmentalize life a little bit too tightly sometimes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, coming back to your point there, in some ways life is really short. On the other hand, life is really long. And we tend to be too frantic about it sometimes. And, you know, obsessive about making every minute count in that regard, rather than looking at life a little bit more agriculturally and recognizing that there are certain seasons of life and you make your investments in those seasons, and that there's a different tone and a color and combination of stuff that goes into a season. You're in a season right now where you can do some incredible preparation. There will become a time when you won't have the time that you have now to prepare. Any other questions? Well, why don't we just close with a word of prayer, and it's about time to eat. You guys look pretty hungry. I can't imagine why, you know. Why don't maybe three or four of you out here in the group just pray out loud, and then I'll close.
Lord, that reject Father and what that means. Just talk about these kind of things. Really figure out my purpose that involves the Lord by you. And I thank you for Dan and his life and just for the time that he spent with us today. And Father, that, that time be blessed. Would you move in our hearts to be near that we give? Is your purpose and your goals and not our own?
Father, I pray that you would seal the commitment of these men with your gracious presence, and that you would help each one to run the race to the finish, to live life fully, and to know that the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect in their life, and that the journey, in a sense, is the reward, the privilege of walking with you, of believing you, and just coming to know you more and more. And so, Lord, I just commit us all to this process and pray that we would all honor you with the way we live. In Christ's name, amen. I had just one comment, hopefully, that might be of help. I think that we tend to, it's an old saying, that we tend to overestimate what we can do in a year and underestimate what we can accomplish in 10. And I think that is, part of it is a counter to kind of the frenetic pace of our world today. And I think as I reflect back on my ministry, and Max, and you know, you guys could probably attest to this too, that there are guys that will come into a campus ministry and they'll take off like a rocket. And they're superstars. And they're leading the studies. And they're doing everything. What's scary is that 20 years down the road, they're nowhere in sight in terms of the race. But the guys that are there 20 years from now are not the guys that were frantic and accelerating like a rocket, but who realized this is a long-distance race, and they just kept a steady pace. And they kept a steady pace. And they plugged away, you know, and they just stayed with it. And all of a sudden, their lives are the ones that are having impact, and the superstars of the early years are nowhere to be found. So I think that says that even though some of you may feel inadequate, may feel like you don't have a lot of capacity, or a lot of energy or a lot of drive, I'd say you're probably perfectly suited for this race. Because what you'll do is that, recognizing those limits, what you'll do is that you'll set a pace that will endure. So find a couple of other runners and stay with it. And don't give up. And don't let the small things that you're doing discourage you, because they seem small now. They will accumulate.